Welcome to Frontiers of Faith, a podcast of the Pontifical Mission Societies. I am Katie Ruvalcaba, and with me today is the inventor of toaster strudel, Father Anthony Andreassi. Hey, Father!
Unfortunately, our listeners can't hear me smile every time you come up with one of your interesting creative facts about me, but thank you. It's always good to be with you.
I don't know if you are a big Mean Girls fan, but there was a movie in the early 2000s where one of the girls was constantly saying, "My father is the inventor of toaster strudel," and she used that as like an appeal to authority at all times.
Yeah, so that was lost on me, but so that gives a little more context. Thank you.
That's okay. I just hope that one of our listeners is entertained by my nonsense. So we are coming up into Palm Sunday this week. We've got a bit of a disjointed episode this week. One of our missionary friends is going to join us, but Father Anthony has got some meetings. But we wanted to get his insights into Palm Sunday. This is kind of an incredible, interesting reading situation that we have at Mass every year on Palm Sunday. What do you think of it? You got any insights for us, Father?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that we're just on the verge of Palm Sunday. I guess the older we get, the more how faster time goes, especially Lent. But I would say if I had a ranked, I mean, some of the priests in my community will, which is our favorite of the Holy Week liturgies, and obviously it's just an interesting exercise. Obviously, not one is more important than the other, but I've always been partial to Palm Sunday. I mean, there's actually, the very physical dimension of bringing home palm, of receiving palm. That's so important in our faith as a faith that a sacramental, we're not afraid to touch things, to smell things, to taste things, to feel things. And, this sort of, it's this, the beginning of Mass, the beginning of the liturgy, ideally it sometimes takes place outside. There is a procession of the Lord into Jerusalem. We're walking in, and he couldn't be riding higher in a sense. The people were all praising him, but as we know in life, you can go from riding high to being at the bottom of the barrel in just a couple of steps. So many of us have experienced that in our own lives, and why Palm Sunday sometimes might strike us in a particular way. But then, of course, we get to the Passion. And each year, the Passion on Palm Sunday is always either A, B, or C. Where on Good Friday, we always have John's Passion. This year, we hear from Mark. And as in most churches, there's sort of a call and response where the crowd or the people are given certain texts to read aloud. And it reminds us that we continue to participate in the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We're not reenacting it, but when we're in a sort of sacred time where we're experiencing it once again, we actually, while reenactments, and I've actually never been to a Civil War reenactment or something like that, I'm sure they're pretty fun things, but obviously everyone knows when you're at a reenactment, it's not really happening again. But ours is not a reenactment, it's still happening. And because of our understanding of sacred time and sacred place, we step into that place once again. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's happening right now. So that's a couple of thoughts as we approach Palm Sunday.
Yeah. When you say that it's taking place right now, I mean, there is that metaphysical sense in which, the Mass is a representation and God is outside of time. But in a much more tangible sense, when we are sitting there as the crowd shouting "Crucify him" about our Lord, it really helps us to put it into perspective of what is my role in this entire thing, and every day my sin, my behavior, my separation from God screams "Crucify him," even if I'm not physically saying it with my mouth. It's just a much more in your face version of what our lives look like, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and also the other people that we meet along the Passion, the women of Jerusalem, the woman who wipes the face of Jesus, those people too, we sometimes see ourselves reflected in, and sometimes we see ourselves reflected in people we wish were not looking back at us. So yes, absolutely. It's this time of where we are either ministering to the broken body of Jesus or rejecting the body of Jesus. You know, and sometimes we do the very same thing in the same day. It happens in the same day.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. I had the very weird experience, not weird, but different experience that a lot of people don't get an opportunity to have, where I got to do the Stations of the Cross in Jerusalem at the actual places where they took, they're marked off in the streets as you go down. And there was a moment that lives rent-free in my head from that experience where Jesus fell for the third time. I had an elderly woman that was with us in our tour group, and she fell right where Jesus fell. And, you know, you can kind of tell if you're getting older based on how people respond to you falling. Like if you're a kid, everyone laughs. But if you're an older person, it's like, it's an emergency and it's scary. But what the part of that that sticks in my head so much is how our entire group was there to help her back up and to walk with her. And there were two women who held her hand for the rest of the time that we were walking. And so whenever that comes up in the Stations of the Cross every Lent, I think of that time. Do I want to be the person on the sidelines jeering and calling for the crucifixion of Christ? Or do I want to be holding hands with the person who is Christ, who is Christ incarnate? He's living in all of us, in the Eucharist, in our experiences, through our baptisms. Do I want to be the person that's holding the hand of the elderly woman who fell with Christ? And it's just such a juxtaposition to me, especially during this particular reading where we usually get to play the part of the bad guy.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful opportunity. And I never really had it as a Protestant. I know we've talked about before that I'm a convert, and Protestant church gets a lot of like high fives from people for being very interactive, for being very, you know, bright and jazzy. But this is just such a different thing. This feels like the Catholic Church's answer to all of that, where people really get to live the experience of the gospel.
Yeah, you know, I've never been to Oberammergau, you know, in Germany, where they have the Passion Play every 10 years. But there, and I actually know someone, a woman who's married to someone I know both of them, but she is from that town in Germany, and her family has been participating in these plays since the 17th century. So, I mean, that must be a phenomenal experience to put on these plays where other people, it happens, you know, as I said, every 10 years, but where people can spend a whole day kind of exploring the image of the Passion and seeing it acted out dramatically. And again, I haven't been there, but I know there's a certain bit of artistic license because you're trying to bear this out over several hours to enter into the experience. So,
yeah. Now, We're gonna talk to Rochelle a little bit about her experience in a minute, but it is Palm Sunday, and I think one of those canon events in people's lives is getting those palms as kids and sword fighting with them in the pews. Do you have any memories of doing that, Father Anthony?
Actually, the one memory that I do have is when we would get home from church, my dad would make palm crosses. We would make some palm crosses together, which are very, as you probably know, they're very simple things to do. And we would then bring them to my grandmother's house, my aunts, whoever we would see later that day. And I've gotten into the habit now of on Palm Sunday and during the week after is making a few palm crosses and sending them to friends who live in other parts of the country and just say, here's a bit of palm from Brooklyn, you know, from where I am. And, you know, we have I know a lot of people have the tradition of putting a piece of palm somewhere in their home and then, you know, and then when Ash Wednesday comes around, you know, obviously our church is, we ask people to bring their palms. We burn them a couple of weeks before Ash Wednesday. And then this is the time of year where there really isn't any palm in the house between, you know, sort of roughly around Ash Wednesday now. So that's actually, and, you know, obviously I'm not a very, what is it? Do it yourself DIY guy, but kids are very hot hands on. So they have to make palm crosses as a fun little activity. So.
Yeah. My kids found out about the palm crosses a few years ago, and now they hand them to me during Mass. I'm like, this is an after Mass activity, children, sit still.
Especially if it involves scissors.
Exactly. Right. Well, the ones that I know how to do don't involve scissors.
Oh, see, I'm not that good. I kind of do very simple. Like those are very impressive. Those. Oh.
I bet that yours are probably a little sturdier than mine are because I'm just tying them together however I can make it work.
Oh, okay.
It's not great, is what I'm saying. Well, we're gonna catch up with Rochelle, and Father Anthony is not gonna be with us for that interview with Rochelle, but. She's working toward a mission trip in, I think she's going to Costa Rica. Wow. And we're very excited for her. She's working with the Focus Missionaries to be able to go and preach the gospel. This will be her second trip. So it'll be great.
And I look forward to chatting with you next week as we prepare for Easter.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for being with us, and hang tight for that interview with Rochelle. Now, we had to let Father Anthony go to his meeting, but we definitely have our good friend Rochelle with us. Rochelle is embracing that mission life in her very, very young age. She's not quite our youngest guest ever, since we just had a good buddy on last week who was 14. But Rochelle, tell us, say hi. Tell us about yourself.
Hi. So my name is Rochelle. I'm a student. I'm a junior at Indiana University right now, studying human biology. And very involved in the Catholic ministry here. I'm also involved in Army ROTC. And I've been loving spending a lot of time outside, biking, swimming, and this weather is really a great change. But yeah, so that's
Yeah, we're getting a taste of spring here in Indiana, though Midwesterners know that this is false spring. It's not real.
Oh, yeah.
The winter will come back, we believe.
100%.
Rochelle, you reached out to me because you are going on a mission trip. And Rochelle and I have experience in the past. You know, I used to lead a girls group that Rochelle was part of, a big deal in high school. And I was so excited to hear that you are going on a mission trip. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so for spring break this year, we're going to me and about, I want to say, between 15 and 20 other college students, about four missionaries from Focus and a priest are going to Costa Rica, to this small island with a population of about 60 people who really live in physical poverty, and going to serve them in a very, I think it's going to be very labor focused, and like helping them build a church is the plan that I've heard of at this point, but very excited.
Wow. What called you to that area of the world, or was it just what was available?
Yeah, well, honestly, it really worked out because one of my biggest goals for a couple of years has been, I really want to do mission in like a Spanish speaking country, because it's a language I've picked up and, just feel the desire to, be involved in that culture and, really serve people there. So it worked out, but honestly, it was the, trip that Focus had organized this spring. And so there wasn't too much of a choice involved, but I had lots of friends who went on the trip last year and absolutely, the mission trip, and absolutely fell in love with the people and the work that they were doing. So that was a big motivating factor.
Is this your first mission trip?
It is. Well, it's my first out of country mission trip. I went to Bethlehem Farm in West Virginia two or three times in high school. And then I went on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje a couple of years ago, which was amazing. But this is my first hardcore mission trip out of country.
Excellent. So overseas mission can be an entirely different thing. So I'm very excited to see how it goes for you. Is there something that you're looking forward to specifically?
I'm really excited for, I am really looking forward to like working on the site and like physical labor. I really enjoy that. But I think what I'm probably most excited about is the evenings and like this time we'll spend in fellowship with everybody. I heard they love dancing. They're amazing cooks and know thousands of variations on rice, beans, and plantains, and very excited about the food and just spending time. There's a lot of children on the island as well, so we'll be kind of caretaking / spending time with them as well. That's very exciting.
Yeah. You had mentioned that this is being organized by Focus. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten a lot of experience with, you know, in the past we had Ethan Stevie, who was a former Focus missionary, mm-hmm. on the podcast. What's been your experience with Focus while you were in college?
Yeah, it's been it's been extensive. I got involved my first year, freshman year here, with a Focus Bible study. So they're at a Focus campus. They have about 5 missionaries, give or take, and they lead Bible studies and formation, which is like a more intense personal level Bible study for students. And so I got involved in that my freshman year. And then I entered into what's called discipleship, which is like a further formation and a preparation to lead a Bible study with an amazing woman named Rachel Stevens. And then my sophomore year, I started leading a Bible study of about 8 to 10 women. And we've been going strong for 2 years now. But yeah, so that's been a big aspect of it. I also went on a pilgrimage with them. So that trip I took to Medjugorje was through Focus, and I got to know the missionaries really well, and they really do a great job of like embedding themselves into student life and just being really relatable and vulnerable with us. So it's been incredible.
Yeah, we've heard from a couple of missionaries in the past that mission trips like the one that you're talking about in college sort of is what kicked off their vocation or their understanding of their missionary calling. Do you personally at this time have any idea that God might be calling you to a life of a mission life, or is it maybe just a one-off? How are you feeling?
Possibly. I definitely do feel a pull to, I think it's helped me realize like what I want, like within a life of mission, if I were to go into that, like what aspects of it are really important to me and what aspects I'm not too fond of. And so, as for Focus, it's something that's crossed my mind. But there are so many mission opportunities out there. And I think I've known others who have gone different routes within the mission field. And so that is also something to look into. But honestly, I'm not sure how that'll look after college yet. So still figuring a lot of things out. But
it's a great question. And definitely, we have quite a few listeners who are going to be praying for you while you're on this mission trip. And hopefully, you know, whatever your vocation ends up being, even if you don't end up in a mission field professionally, this is the kind of trip or experience that can really help to form your understanding of Christ's church in the mm-hmm. world. I know for me, the first time I was able to see mission territory, it was just incredibly different to realize that the poverty is unlike anything we've ever experienced in the United States. And the love of Christ in the mission fields can seem so much greater somehow, that like, even though they lack the material comforts that we have in the United States, they seem to make up for that in comfort from Christ. Like the consolation of knowing the Lord is so much greater in those spaces.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for that for you.
I am too. It's
and you know, obviously we all have a missionary call in our baptism as well, which I know that you kind of already live out because I know you personally. So
yeah, it's really incredible. And I think one of the biggest things that Focus has helped me realize is how I can live out that life of mission, like on a very personal and intimate level, even if I'm not a like explicit missionary. And so yeah, it's just, there are a lot of great role models that have kind of like shown me what life could be like. So it's been a huge blessing.
Yeah. Is there one of your Focus missionaries in particular that's had a big role in your life that you can tell us about?
Yeah. I think one of the women who has formed me, she was my, they have chains. So like, students will be led by a focus missionary, and then they'll be prepped to lead a Bible study. And then they'll take women in that Bible study into formation. And those women will hopefully lead a Bible study and take women. So it's like this kind of growing tree. And my first, the first missionary I was really close to, I was under her chain, and her name was Gabby Hancock. She was incredible and an incredible listener. And she really, nothing felt like it was part of like this big corporation or organization with an agenda. But yeah, she really allowed me to like that safe space to open up about some of honestly the deepest like struggles that I've been having, and she was just constantly a light. So she was probably, I'd say she's been the missionary I've been most close with, and I still actually stay in touch with her, and she's at Grand Valley now, but yeah, it's been, she was incredible.
Well, that's wonderful. The founder of the one of the Pontifical Mission Societies is a lady named Blessed Pauline Jericho, or Venerable. I don't remember. I think we're venerable at this point. Pauline Jericho. And she used to talk about how it was important to be the spark that lights the flame. And when you're describing that, your missionary, that's what I'm thinking of, is that she's got that spark for you that's lighting the flame, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, Rochelle, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us about your mission experience. And I hope that it goes well. We'll all be praying for you. And I hope you have a blessed Easter.
Thank you so much. You too.
Frontiers of Faith is a podcast of the Pontifical Mission Societies, produced by Katie Ruvalcaba. Theme music by Ethan Stevie. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @faith_frontiers and at Frontiers of Faith on Facebook and Instagram. To support the work of the Pontifical Mission Societies, please go to onefamilyinmission.org to donate.